tonight, I want to preach a little while on the thought of ministering. Before I tell you where the scripture is I'll be looking at, is at. The Bible in the New Testament says a lot about ministering to you and I as Christian people. We all have a ministry. The Bible teaches us that we're ambassadors of Christ. It teaches us that we're ministers of the manifold grace of God. And we're ministers of Christ. We're ministers of the New Testament. And tonight I want to say that we're probably either a good minister or a bad minister. And I guess tonight as I bring you this message and some examples of ministering in the Old Testament here, I'd like for you to examine yourself tonight in the ministry that the Lord has given you. And we are ministers, as I said, friend. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost upon us, and we're witnesses, a good witness or a bad witness, a good minister or a bad minister. And I hope tonight to encourage you and to exhort you out of the Word of God to be a good minister and make the most of your time in life and put God where He needs to be in your life. It's easy in the day that we live in to let things get in our way as we try to minister and live for the Lord from day to day. You know, we're not serving the Lord by coming to church. We serve the Lord when we go out these doors and out into the world and people look upon us and we're supposed to be a light to them. We're supposed to be showing Christ to the world through our life and through our witness as we go out these doors. And I wonder tonight where we stand in this thing of ministering. I wonder what the Lord would say about me and what He'd say about you as we daily go out of these doors and the life that we live before people. So you examine yourself tonight as we look into the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, look with me in 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And I want to look at a couple of characters in this passage of Scripture right here. Something you're all familiar with. You might have even realized who the character is by me naming 2 Kings chapter number 5. It's the story of Naaman the leper right here, but I'm not specifically going to talk so much about Naaman, but somebody else that's mentioned in this chapter right here. Verse number 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment." We'll stop reading right there for the sake of time. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture right here, this first few verses right here mentions a young lady. Calls her a little maid. Now I want you to notice tonight as we examine her life right here some things about this little maid and how that she ministered. How that she ministered under her circumstances. I wonder, have you got any circumstances in your life that might be a hindering you from ministering and doing the things that the Lord would have you to do? I can take a look at this little maid right here, and I'm encouraged by what I see in the Word of God of her life and the circumstances that she had upon her. Friend, I tell you, we're not in the shape that she was in. We're not in the place that she was in, but yet she was very effective in her ministry, and she didn't let her circumstances hinder her from serving her God. Oh, listen, has circumstances tonight got you down? Has it got you in a place to where you want to just throw in the towel and quit? Well, listen to me, friend. There's no quitting place on God. I'm glad He didn't quit on us. I'm glad that He sent His Son into this world and He marched up Calvary's Hill and He could have called 10,000 angels to take Him down from the cross and He could have thrown in the towel and He could have wiped all mankind off the face of the earth. He could have let us all die and go to hell, but I'm glad that He didn't quit. He didn't quit. The Bible says He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And we ought to be willing to give our lives for Christ's cause and do what we can in our life to serve Him and repay Him for the good grace of God that He shed on us. Well, we're debtors to the grace of God, friends. We owe the Lord so much. But I want you to notice this little maid's ministry. First of all, she was captive. Captive. Can you imagine if some enemy overrun our country when you were a child and had taken you away captive into a foreign land? Not only was she captive, but she was a slave. She was made a servant. She had to work. She didn't get no paycheck on Friday either, friends. She was a slave girl over in the Syrians' country. Because they had came into Israel and they'd gone out by companies, it says, and brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. What circumstances that she was in. Boy, that'd be a depressing position, wouldn't it? We got it made in this country, don't we? We'll go home tonight and we'll lay our heads down on our pillows and we can have peace, can't we? Families may be all right and everything going good. Food on our table and a roof over our head and we just forget about God. His blessings. Oftentimes we do, don't we? God's been good to us. But this little maid, she was captive. She was a slave in a foreign land. But I want you to notice her character. She had no bitterness about her. Well, I wonder... If somebody had taken you captive away into a foreign land, would you have a hatred or a bitterness for those that took you away from your home and away from your family? It's no telling what kind of an effect it would have on us, is it? Our country, our home, taken away, made to work, made to be a slave in a foreign land. But listen, her character showed that she had no bitterness, she had no hatred. But instead of these things, no malice, friend, but instead she had love and she had peace. And I believe she had joy over there in a foreign land. Shows what she was made out of. But her circumstances, to you and I, it would look bad. But not only being captive, she had her character, but she also had concern. It's astounding to me when you look at this passage of Scripture right here. She was captive. She waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman was a leper. Her concern amazes me. She didn't have hatred for those that had taken her captive, but she was concerned about them. She said, I would to God that he could get over there into Israel and see the prophet and he could be healed. You know what I'd have probably been doing? I'd have probably been saying, Lord God, get me out of here, get me back home, get me out of this mess, me, 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 me. But this little girl, she got above her circumstances. She got above her captivity. And she had compassion on the ones that had taken her and made a slave out of her. Compassion. How's your compassion tonight? How do you see people every day when you go out into the world? Do you see them just as another human being? Or do you see them as a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell one day? She wanted to see Naaman healed of his leprosy. He was a mighty man. He was a wealthy man. He was second over the kingdom there. He had everything he needed but his health.
He needed cleansing. We ought to look out at a lost and a dying world, no matter how big they are or how small they are in society. We ought to see them as a living soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere one day. We ought to do what we can, and we ought to have compassion on everybody. The little maid's amazing, ain't she? Tell you something else amazing about this little maid. She comes onto the pages of your Bible right here in just three or four short verses right there. She's gone. Her name's not mentioned. She has no title other than little. Little. We look at ourselves as a Christian. Sometimes we think we got to have a title before we go out and do anything for the Lord. We ought to be a preacher, or we ought to be a teacher, we ought to be a deacon, or a song leader, or a choir leader, or something before we do anything. We don't just sit back and be a spectator, don't we? Spectators. God's looking for some participators. And this little maid right here, she became a participator, even though the circumstances she was under was dire and it was bad, and she was over there in a foreign land, away from her family, away from her friends, alone there. But she had compassion. Oh, her title was little. Little maid. Can I tell you something? Little is much when God's in it. What a miracle was performed in this chapter right here. Wonder what old Naaman thought about her when he got back home. Cleansed of his leprosy. The intercession of one little maid right here made the difference in a man's life. Intercession. Oh, we ought to be interceding for people that needs cleansing. Amen. Her title was little. Her troubles were big. Her testimony. Isn't it amazing that when she spoke about the prophet, that if Naaman could just make it over there, there's a prophet there that could heal him. Her testimony was worthy to believe. Tells me that she was living a godly life. And that people saw that she had a God that could be trusted, be believed in. This little maid's ministry. Circumstances was no hindrance to her. She didn't let the things and troubles of life get her down. What about you? What about your ministry tonight? Are you making the fullest of it? Or have you thrown in the towel? Because maybe some circumstances got you down. Secondly tonight, as you go on in this chapter right here, I see another character by the name of Gehazi. He was a servant to Elisha. Now I'm skipping over the main character here of Naaman, but I want you to notice this man named Gehazi. He lost his ministry. He was right under Elisha. Now he was a servant to Elisha. What an honorable and respected position he had. An honor to be there serving with the great prophet Elisha. But look what happens to Gehazi as he went into a process of losing his ministry. Let's read a few verses starting with verse 14. Naaman has now gone down to Jordan. It says, then when he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, shall thou not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods. but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, he leaneth upon my hand. I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. Notice now. He said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, not receiving in his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and take somewhat of him. You know what? When Naaman came over there to Elisha's house, he had gold, he had silver, he had changes of raiment, and my Bible in the footnotes here said it was, in today's money, would have been worth millions of dollars. When Gehazi, I saw that Elisha said, no, I don't want it. My God ain't for sale. The blessings of God's not for sale, folks. You can't bribe God with money. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, he let lust enter into his heart. He saw all the gold, he saw all the silver, and he ran after Naaman now, and he catches him out here, and he says, hey, we've got a prophet, one of the sons of the prophet, said, how about letting us just have a talent of silver? Take care of him. Naaman says, well, just take two talents and two changes of raiment. So he took it all, and he headed back now. And one thing he did, he lied about it. When he got there, he said, Elijah sent me. He lied. And so he gets all this money now, and verse 24 says, when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Listen now. But when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? He said, another lie coming up. Thy servant went nowhither. You can't get by. You can't cover sin with a lie. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Or have mercy. But Gehazi now, he's gone out, he's lied, he's taken a reward now that Elisha refused, and he's brought it back now, and he's being confronted by the Lord. Elisha says, where are you coming from, Gehazi? He said, I ain't been nowhere. Look what happens. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, and men's servants and maid servants? He's rebuking him now. But he's also got something else to say. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. The Bible says to be sure your sins will find you out. You cannot cover your sins, friend. The best thing you can do is whenever you sin and the Holy Ghost convicts you of your sin, is to get down and confess to God your sin and ask Him to forgive you and forsake it. Or suffer the consequences. This Bible is amazing. The grace of God is amazing to me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an amazing verse in your Bible, ain't it? Why would God be so gracious? Because when Jesus hung upon the cross, He knew your sins today He knows what your sins are going to be tomorrow. Jesus has already had those sins laid upon Him on Calvary's cross. He's already paid the price. All He wants you to do is to admit your sins, confess, and call upon Him to forgive. He said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you. You see, what happened here is Gehazi let lust come into his life. Lust is something we battle every day, folks. That's something this flesh is eat up with. It's lust for the things of this world. And we have to battle it every day of our lives. That's why Paul said he had to die daily. The crucifying of the flesh, friend. You better crucify your flesh. It'll get you into the place of Gehazi right here. He lost his ministry. Lust. It'll take you away from God, from the things of God. You better get it under control. It'll wreck your life. It'll wreck your home. Mamas and daddies, husbands and wives, you better watch your lust. You're headed for a train wreck if you ain't got it under control. He lusted, he lied, and he lost. He lost everything. Not only did he lose, friend, notice it says it, the leprosy of Naaman will cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Not only was it on Gehazi, but his family. Your lust and your sins, it'll not only take you down, it can take your family down. It can put a mark on you. You see, he went out of there white as snow, a leper, unclean, marked by the sin that he had committed. Gehazi, he got caught. He got caught. His title. He went from a faithful servant to a fallen servant. Wouldn't it be bad to have this recorded about your life? Wouldn't it be bad? His troubles was multiplied forever. Leprosy was an awful, awful, incurable disease in that day. He had to be separated from his family. It's like an outcast. You study the laws about the leper. It's an awful, awful thing. The little maid, her testimony was trusted and tried. Now I wonder, Gehazi, I wonder what people would have thought about his testimony. He'd made a liar out of himself. Couldn't be trusted. You wouldn't know where he was lying or telling the truth. Little maid's ministry. Gehazi, I lost his ministry. But then lastly, I want to look at one other character here. Over in chapter number 6. I intended to preach out of chapter 6 tonight. As I was studying it, God led me in this direction of ministering. So I want to just touch on this thing over in chapter 6, first 7 verses. The Bible says, the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. These sons of the prophets, don't know exactly how old they were. Probably a group of young men wanting to do something for God. And they came to Elisha and said, let us get involved. Let us do something. It's a good thing to get young people involved in the ministry. He said, go. I appreciate Brother Tim working with the youth and in the youth choir. What a blessing they were to me Sunday night. And Brother Jason and them out back are working with them and not putting them on stage in a drama team or, I'm doing the right things, what I'm talking about. doing the things of God, things that God be pleased with, things that would edify the body of Christ. But he goes on now, he answered and he said, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I'll go." Young people need leaders. They recognized they needed a leader. Elisha was willing to go with them. They come up with this idea now, and Elisha's going with them. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" He showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand, and he took it. Now, we looked at the little maid's ministry and Gehazi's lost ministry, but I want us to look at this young man's recovered ministry. I wonder tonight if you've gone cold on God and maybe you've got careless and you've turned your back on the ministry that God wants you to be in right now. You think about it now. As we look at this story, the activity, friend, there was activity going on here. God, He's not pleased with a dead church. And you are the church. It ain't the building right here. We're the church. And they were active. These young people were active. They wanted to do something for the Lord. And the man of God said, "Go." And they said, "You come on, go with us." And he said, "I'll go." So they went down here and they wanted to build something now. It said the place where they're staying was too straight or too small for them. So they was going to build something here. You notice not only the activity, friend, but you'll notice the axe that's mentioned right here. Now, an axe was no doubt a precious tool in the old days that they were talking about right here. Somebody had to use that axe to cut down the trees, didn't they? And they just had one axe, no doubt. One had the axe, and he was getting with it, cutting down the beams there. But you notice it says that as one was felling the beam, the axe head fell into the water. The axe was borrowed, he says. It was like a gift, a precious gift, something to work with. The only way they could have got them trees cut down was with the axe. And friend, I want you to notice it was precious, and it was the power, it was the equipment, it was the tool that they needed. You know, God's going to give you everything you need to serve Him. He's not going to ask you to do anything that He won't equip you to do, that He won't go with you and stand with you and give you the power to do it. This axe head right here is a type of the gifts of the Holy Ghost that He gives to you and I. You may say, "Well, I don't know what I can do." You can witness. If you read over in Acts chapter 1, he says, "You shall be witnesses unto me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That includes everybody. We can witness. We can be a light. We can do. It may not seem like a lot. We might be like this little maid right here. Our name might not ever make it into the church bulletin, friend. But let me tell you something, friend. God is looking, and God is looking for somebody to use, and it may be just a little way, but God can make much of it. This axe was their power. It was their borrowed gift. The things that God has given you to do and the power to do it with, you've got a short season to do your work. We're not here on this earth long. God's given you gifts. He's given you power. He expects you to get out and get busy and use it. Amen. The axe. But not only that, the attention. As one was felling the axe. Boy, I bet you every eye was upon that man. He was a chopping. I brought something with me right here. I bought this axe right here on eBay. I got the lusting after axes. listen, I'm restoring an old log cabin. And I was interested in the tools that they used to hew them logs out. And they didn't have chainsaws and things like that. They used axes and big old broad axes and foot asses to work that thing. Now, I had to replace two or three logs in it, and I needed an axe anyway, so I bought me one. And I began to use it. And as I was chopping with it, you know what happened? Do you see this? It got loose on the handle. And this is not the actual one I'm talking about, but I've got another one at home. And you know what I did? When that axe head started getting loose, my attention was focused on that thing for a little bit. You know what I did, though? I ignored it. And it got looser, and it got looser. And finally, you know what it did? It broke the handle up here. You know what you're doing? If you're not watching what God's given you to work with, you can get to living loose. You can get to living loose. Before you know it, you'll fly off the handle. And your power, the thing that God give you to work with, to be a blessing with, it'll be broken. It'll be lost, just like this. Fell off into the water. How about you? This is the main thing I wanted to preach about tonight. How about your axe tonight? Is it getting loose on the handle? Maybe it's already gone. Maybe your power, the thing that God give you to work with, maybe you've turned your back on it. I mean, it went into the water. It was gone. Gone. But not only the activity and the acts and the attention, friend, the awakening. I'm here tonight to try to wake somebody up. How about your acts? It's easy to get in church and it's easy, friend, to hear good preaching and good teaching and have a great service, friend. It's easy to get calloused and get hardened against the things of God. We're living in worshiping and serving in the best church, I believe, in this country today. But I wonder tonight, is your axe head getting loose? Is your handle about to break? Are you about to lose what God has given you to work with? Calloused. It was getting looser. Every time he chopped, that thing was getting looser. You know what? You know where all the attention was? It was on the man with the axe. People was watching him. And he was fixing to mess up. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Liberty Baptist Church. God blessed this place. Let me tell you something. God has blessed you to be here. God has blessed you to be a member of this church. And God is expecting something out of us. Because people are looking. We've got the axe. We've got the axe. God's doing great things here. But if we're not careful, we'll let it get loose. You let it get loose, it may get gone. You don't want to lose your ministry. This young man, as he saw that thing fly into the water, he cried out. He said, "Alas, Master! Alas, Master! For it was borrowed." He done the right thing. He didn't try to blame somebody else. He didn't try to hide what had happened. But he cried out to his Master. It's what we need to do, ain't it? "Alas, Master! For it was borrowed." And lastly this, I want you to notice this. When he cried out to his Master, there was assistance given. The man of God
said, "Where fell it? Where'd you lose your axe? Where'd you lose your cutting edge, folks? Are you closer to God today than you've ever been?" Every day of our life ought to be a forward progress. It ought to be an upward movement in our Christian life. Ain't no going backwards. God's not pleased with going backwards. And the gifts that He's given us, He doesn't want us to lose it. So the man of God said, "Where fell it?" If you're not as close to the Lord today as you were 6 months ago or a year ago, where'd you lose it? Where'd you fall? What happened to you? Thank God you can get it back. This man called out. It says he showed him the place. It'd do you good if you just confess what you've done, how you failed, how you've lost what you had. The Bible says he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. You know, I got an idea that stick might have been in the shape of a cross. I mean, he could have said, "I'll get it, I'll wade out in there and find it." But no, he didn't. I believe he cut down a stick, throwed it in the water. You know where you'll get help? At the foot of the cross. Get back to the cross. That's where you can get your help. That's where you can get your blessings restored in your life. We need that. Not only that, the iron did swim, it said. Now that thing came to the top. There it was. And the man of God said this, "Take it up to thee." In other words, he had a responsibility. He had a responsibility to reach out and take it. God's offering us higher planes. He's offering us greater gifts, greater service. We're just going to go through life satisfied, fat and happy and dead and dull? Are you going to get to where God wants you to be? Get to doing what He wants you to do? You got to reach out and take some things. The devil, he'll take from you. God wants to restore. Don't you know how embarrassed that boy was when he let that thing fly off the handle? Embarrassed, no doubt. That thing, I mean, that thing, the Jordan River, they say, was swift, muddy. He couldn't see that axe head. He must have been terribly embarrassed. But it came up. The man of God said, "Take it up to thee." He put out his hand and he took it. He got his power back. He got his gift back. I believe he got to put it back on that stick, on that handle, and go to chopping again. Bet he put him a wedge in it, though. Keep it tight. We need the Word of God to wedge us. Keep us tight, don't we? Amen. Stand with us. The little maid's ministry, she ministered under terrible circumstances. Gehazi lost his ministry. He got caught. This young man recovered his ministry, but he was careless at one time. He wasn't watching. Wasn't watching. What do you need tonight? Are you exactly where the Lord wants you to be in ministry? Or do you need to offer yourself a living sacrifice to Him? He doesn't ask us to lay down our life, but He asks us to be a living sacrifice. and just offer ourselves of service to Him. Sister Sherry, would you come play for me tonight?